So this morning we've got a very special meeting. It's literally Children's Day in the church. It's Children's Day. Okay? So let's give the children a good hand clap. All right? You were all children one time. And so it's all about children. And it's really how to raise godly children. That's what we're going to talk about. I'm going to talk for a few minutes. And then we're going to have Pastor Lindsay come in. We're going to have some children come in. We're going to have a wonderful time. And then we can invite the congregation to go out and have a look what took place in the new in the children's church as it's been refurbished and remodeled. It's just great. But raising godly children is what I want to talk about. Honestly, how many of you know that Satan is after our kids? Yep. Have a good okay on that one? Yeah, he is. Okay. The thing is this, you know, it didn't start now in this generation. In fact, you can go back as far as Pharaoh. Do you remember when the children of Israel were held captive and they were just having so many children that that Pharaoh got like upset with this and he said there's no way that they're going to have all these millions of... So he told the midwives to kill the babies at birth. I don't know if you know that. All the male Hebrew boys were thrown into the Nile River. That's what they had to do. That's horrific. 2 years and under, killed all the males. And in that situation is where Moses was saved. That's when he was saved. His mom put him in a little basket and everything and sent him down the Nile River. And then, of course, as you know, the story about how he survived. But you wonder why, what was behind that? It wasn't just trying to keep the generation, the amount of Hebrew boys down. It was actually a satanic plot. Satan was looking for somebody he could use to attack the Hebrews because he knew that God had told him that the Savior, the Messiah, was going to come through the Hebrew line and that the Messiah, was going to take the devil out. And so he knew it would be a male, and so he went for all the males. He didn't know it would be a Mary. And that Father God would provide. He got him just like, what? Who saw that coming? So he tries again. When Herod and the Magi come and tell him that the new king of Israel has arrived on the scene, and the Magi promise they'll go back and tell Herod, and they don't go back. Herod gets a bee in his bonnet, he gets crazy, and he kills all the male children, 2 years and under. Again, Satan trying to get a hold of the Messiah and stamp him out. Because obviously, God's newspaper publicized with the light and the star and everything else, and then spilled the beans and told Herod, oh no, we've seen it, we've seen the star, we know this, the Messiah is coming, or the king is coming, everything else. And the devil gets, what? He snuck up again. All right, kill everybody. Kill, 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 kill everybody. I'm telling you now, the devil is trying to kill your children. You need to wake up, understand this is a life and death situation. Okay? You need to be alert. So I'm going to be talking to parents, and I'm going to talk today to people who want to be parents. Please make sure you understand. What are we competing with today? Well, we're competing with our society. We're competing with... the world's values that have been propagated by Satan. We're having to compete with the pressure and the cultural fashions, whether it's cool to be this or not cool to be this. And if you're not cool, how that affects the child because you're not cool. And of course, Christians are not considered to be cool, especially at church, at school. So they're going to get ostracized, they're going to get picked on, and so on and so forth. This is going to happen to them. So the children are going to experience a lot of problems. And now, let's just face the reality. Let me just face it. I was watching the news this week, and they were having this big discussion, a legal discussion, because they want to introduce a new set of restrooms at school for transgender people. But the transgender kids, I'm talking about middle school, said that they don't want to be seen as to be different and separate, so they don't want a third set of restrooms. They want to go to the gender of their choice. So whatever they choose their gender is, that's where they want to go. How many of you know kids at 10 are not really sure? And if they're raised, I'm just being honest here, if they're raised by homosexual families, two of the same, What chance have they got of ever getting clarity as to what they're supposed to be? No wonder kids of 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 are trying to figure out who they are, what they're supposed to be, because they've got two dads or two moms, and they call the one dad, one. I don't know what they do and how they cope with it, all right? But, I mean, it's tough enough being raised in a regular family. Don't raise your hand, but you were raised in a regular family, and you got your problems, okay? Dad's not, you did raise his hand, okay. All right, couldn't keep them down, all right, Mike, couldn't keep them down, there he goes. But there we go, you know, we got dads doing crazy stuff, they shouldn't be doing all this kind of stuff. People, listen, the only hope is Jesus. The only hope in Jesus, and that's what we want to offer you today. We want to say to you parents, you need help. You need help to raise your children. I mean, what a confused society we're living in. So how do we deal with it? Well, let me first say this to you. That God actually loves to share with childlike people, not childish people. So we need to get a hold of this. In Matthew 11, 25, Jesus said at that time, he prayed this prayer, said, "O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves wise and clever, and for revealing them to childlike, to them who are childlike. Yes, Father, it pleased you to do it this way." And so here's the deal. We're not talking about childish. We're talking about childlike. And God said, "I will reveal and I will be pleased to reveal to these folk the kingdom of God, the truths about God, and so on and so forth." And he doesn't want you to be childish about it, but he does want you to be like a child, humble and teachable. That's two of the characteristics or attributes of children, is that they're humble. They usually are, you know, and they're teachable. Given, certainly if you have good parental instruction, you will have that with a child. They will learn to be humble and learn the instruction of the Word of God. In Matthew 18 and 3, Jesus said this, "I tell you the truth, unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven." So anyone who becomes as humble as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So people, humility is one of the things God looks for. You understand? He's looking for those that are humble, those adults that have that same attribute of teach me, Lord. I'll do what you ask me to do. I'm here. You know, like yesterday, 50 people turned up to work. And it was, "Pastor, where do you want me to work? What do you want me to do? Whatever. And it was so amazing. The atmosphere was so charged. The people were so beautiful and so friendly. And it was a remarkable event. And those that were here, say amen. It was just a phenomenal thing to see so many humble people working so hard to beautify their home. And this is their home. But Jesus said here that you need to be humble as a little child. And verse 5, he said, "Anyone who welcomes a child like this on my behalf is welcoming me." Any child welcoming me. Okay? If anyone welcomes a little child like this on my behalf is welcoming me. Okay. Jesus said, if you'll welcome a little child, you welcome me. Let's just get this right. You welcome me. People, we have so neglected. I'm not condemning us as a body. I'm just saying we're so busy here, especially in California, with 2 and 3 jobs and running around doing some things. We often run past some of the most valuable, precious gifts. And if you'll welcome a little child in the name of Jesus, you're welcoming Jesus. We always think we're going to do something great. We just got to do something really big. Unless we got to rock, we got to build a church of 10,000 people, and then Jesus will come visit. You'll get recognition from the Christian world and other people. But if you wanted recognition from heaven, just welcome a little child. And after all, whose recognition are you seeking? Amen. Now it goes further. "If you cause one of these little ones who trusted me to sin or to fall away, it was better for you to a large millstone was put around your neck and you'd be drowned in the depths of the sea." So God is very protective. He's very protective of children. Okay? You're going to have to take care of this. Now, me show you how the devil is going for the children. Okay, now you may have heard this, you may not have heard this, but it's a gross thing to say. It's a gross thing, but I'm going to say it. You need to understand how vile this is and what the devil is doing through the homosexual community. They have a motto: sex before 8, or it's too late. Listen up, I know that's gross, but you need to hear the viciousness. And you understand that's exactly the opposite of what I just did, of welcoming a child. In other words, destroying a child before the child is 8 years old. That's Satan's plan. That's his ploy. I know, I feel gross too. I do, I feel terrible. But what's the answer? Bring the children to Jesus. Bring the children to Jesus. Jesus said this in Matthew 19. He said, one day some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could lay his hands upon them and pray for them. The parents wanted Jesus to bless the children. Every parent wants God to bless the children. What parent doesn't? All right? So I ask these questions. I often say, how old are you and how many children do you have? Your children, how old are your children? Have you taken them to church yet to learn about Jesus? Have you taken them to get blessed of God? Well, you know, I'm not sure what church I should go to or whatever. Well, I'm questioning your parenthood now. Do you really care for these children? You say you do, but what's more important? You deciding what church is good, what church? Well, there's a lot of churches you could go to. Find a good one. Check it out until you find a good one where they love Jesus. So the disciples scolded the parents for bothering Jesus. And Jesus said, let the little children come to me. Let the children come to me. Don't stop them. Don't stop them. In the 35 years I've been a pastor, I've had parents stop their children from coming to children's church. Actually stop it. I've had them take them out of this church and said, you can't teach them. We don't want them to be part of this church. We're going to take them somewhere else. When I look at this scripture, I shudder. I shudder at the responsibility that parent or parents will have to answer before God for the beautiful gift God gave them and for how they messed up. Don't stop them. You let them come to Jesus. And he took his hands and he put them on these children and he blessed them. Then he left. Now, do you know children don't need to learn how to be bad? They don't learn how to be naughty. It comes natural. Yeah? Do you know you don't ever have to teach a child how to lie? I mean, seriously, I'm asking you now. You've raised kids. Where in the world did they find that out? How did they know to lie means to escape fear, lie, get out of it? How did they know that? Where did that come from? You actually have to teach a child how to be good, how to behave, how to do all of these things. You've got to teach the child how to do that. And one of the most important things you have to teach a child is actually how to praise God. So look at the scripture here. In Matthew 21:15, the leading priests and the teachers of the religious law saw these wonderful miracles and heard even the children in the temple, good place to be, shouting, praising God for the Son of David. But the leaders were indignant. These are the priests, they were indignant. And they asked Jesus, do you hear what these children are saying? And he replied, 5 minutes. Haven't you read in the scriptures? You have taught children and infants to give you praise. You taught the children to give you praise. You see, they don't learn naturally. It's not a natural part of their DNA to praise God. You actually have to teach them. Are you listening to me? Okay? You have to teach them. So we provide training. The training is in the home, first of all, but we assist you in training you at church. In Proverbs 22:6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. There's a wonderful scripture that we use all the time. if you were a Christian and you got children and they were raised in a Christian home, that doesn't mean that they're not going to go wonky, go off the track, and, you know, become all flaky. You know, nuts and fruits and everything else is crazy stuff. Okay? It happens. Now, praise God, if it hasn't happened in your family, awesome. Thank you, Jesus. All right? But it happened in my family. Okay? It happened in my family. And it happens worse to PKs. That's preacher's kids. Because the spotlight is on them so much that they're trying to escape. So, you know, both Cindy and Hayne went their way, tried to find their way in the world, tasted the world, whatever, got beaten up in the world, came back. But this is one of the scriptures we were able to stand upon to believe God, because we raised them right. And then we gave them some rope. And then they hung themselves on the rope. Okay, but we kept on saying, we kept on praying, oh God, let the light of the world, let the drawing of the world fade, and let the drawing of your spirit rise in them. Let this world fade. Let the power of the world fade in their life. And so they could see Jesus. And so we pray over them. And we held on to this because we had trained them right. And said, when they are old, they will not depart. So now you know both Hayne and Cindy are old. Because they're back. But how old am I then? If they're old. Do you know that children have to learn to obey their parents and to honor parents? It's not a natural thing. The Bible actually says, children, honor and obey your parents. Doesn't it say that? And he said, this is with promise. You'll have long life. So if you don't honor and obey, I give parents the right to kill you. No, just kidding with you. You know Jesse Duplantis? He said, you know, I gave birth to you. I'll take you out and we'll make another one. He's so funny. But anyway, God gives extended life to children who learn to obey their parents. Because honestly, if you don't obey your parents, you're going to run into the law sooner or later. You're going to run into gangs. You're going to run into all kinds of stuff. Your life will be terminated short. And it won't be because God went after you or because your parents did something bad to you. But it will be because you ended up on the wrong side of the tracks and you got involved in the wrong things. And then you just live by the sword, you die by the sword. That's what ends up happening. So God wrote in his book. He wrote in his book on purpose. Because children don't learn. They don't know that. You've got to teach them. So you've got to teach them to obey. All right? You can have like a count rule like 1, 2, 3. I've spoken once, spoken twice. I don't speak a third time. Something like that, you know. Because honestly, I mean, I used to tell my children, when I tell you don't do it, it's for your own good. We're walking along the road and I say, don't step off into the road. And you say, why? And you step off and you get run over by a bus. Because you wouldn't listen to me. I said, you see, most children don't understand the dangers that are awaiting them. We as parents see the dangers, they don't. So when we say don't do it, it's not because we're a spoil sport. You know, we're trying to pour water on your parade. No, we're trying to save your life. We're trying to help you. So we say no, don't do that. And sometimes with explanation, sometimes not with explanation. But if we say no, obey the parent. And if they don't obey the parent, you say, that's one. You know what's going to happen when we get to three? We're going to apply the paddle to the seat of learning. Really? Really? You're going to find out what it means to be disobedient, because that little pain is nothing to what you will experience if you continue down this road of disobedience. Okay? Do you know that the Bible clearly says, Paul wrote to Timothy, and he says, the faith that was in your grandmother, and then in Lois, your mom, and then is in you. So there is a transferring that can occur of your God-like nature, your God-like character, your God-like behavior. Your faith can be transferred to your children. But not by just laying hands upon them and a gift being transferred to them. They watch you. You model Christ in your home and your life, the way you model your life, they learn from you. Okay? Two things that are most important that kids look at in the parents. So you might want to make a note of this, because this is how they learn from their parents. Passion and passiveness. Passion and passiveness. What you're passionate about, they learn to be passionate about. What you're passive about, they learn is not important.
in your children's life. You've got education, you've got behavior, you've got spiritual life, you've got physical life, you've got social. What's important to your child is possibly what they saw in you. If you're passionate about football on TV, the chances are they will become passionate about that as well because daddy's passionate about that. If you're passive about attending prayer meeting or coming to church, then they will understand that's not important. If you think of how much time children have at home when they're not sleeping and they're not at school, how much influence do you as a parent have over that child in the short amount of time you've got? And that time that you've got with them, what are you saying to them, passively or passionately? And mostly they learn from what you do rather than what you say. They watch you. They're smart. And they watch you. They see your reaction to things. They hear the excuses that you make about why we shouldn't go to prayer meeting or why we shouldn't do this or whatever. You think the kids don't hear the way you talk at home about the church and about my sermons? That's why they love this place. Amen. I got some feedback from a parent just recently on that. All right. Now, listen, guys. I'm going to wrap this up before we have Lindsay come in. We cannot train your children in 90 minutes a week. It's not possible. They're exposed to so many hours at school, so many hours in front of the TV at home, whatever's going on in your home. It's absolutely, we need you to help us, and we need to cooperate with you. We want to be on the same team. Does that make sense? We can't do it alone, but we want to be on your team, and we want to help you get this thing right. So let me just say this, and I'll conclude. Children are more open to hear God than adults, but they must be guided. They must be guided to know the voice of God. And the example I want to use is back in 1 Samuel. When Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a little boy, he was just a little boy, he wore a linen cloth. This is 1 Samuel chapter 2. And each year his mother made him a little robe and took it to him when she went up with the husband to offer annual sacrifices. Now, you know that the mom couldn't have a baby. And then she prayed, and she got Samuel, and she took Samuel, she gave Samuel to God. So Samuel was growing up in the temple, not at home. Okay, so that's how Samuel got in there. And verse 21 says that the boy Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord. That's where he was growing up. He was growing up in the presence of the Lord. And in verse 26 it says, and the boy Samuel, the boy, continued to grow in stature and favor with the Lord and with men. And in verse 1 of chapter 3, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. That was the prophet that was leading the mentor. So little Samuel starts as a little kid, and he grows up, and he's growing up in the presence of the Lord, and he's learning. But now he becomes a teenager. The young boy is probably a teenager, and he's ministering to the Lord. In verse 3, it says, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark was, and then the Lord called Samuel. Now, understand something. Samuel is sleeping at the foot of the ark in the temple. Wow. He was positioned to hear God. He was the closest one to the ark, just this little kid. And he hears his name being called. Samuel answered, here am I. And he ran to Eli and he said, here am I, you called me. And Samuel actually at this point didn't recognize the voice of God. He heard it, but didn't know who it was. Your children are hearing God's voice, don't know who it is. Listen, folks, this is amazing. So he had to be trained. In verse 7 of chapter 3 says, now Samuel did not know the Lord yet. He didn't know him, who he was, because the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. See, part of our job is to reveal the word of God to our children so that they can understand, this is God. Oh, this is what he thinks. This is why he does it. Oh, I get it. Okay, I see that. All right. So God has to speak to us, and God has to reveal it to us, and then we have to teach them. So then he has to learn how to respond. So Eli says to him, he realizes God's calling him, and he says to him, go lie down again, and if he calls, say, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. That's what you have to say. Okay, he goes back, he lies down. Here it comes again. Here's the voice. Samuel, Samuel. And he says, speak, Lord. Just a little kid. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Would you like your children to grow up with this kind of respect for you and for God? That they would be able to say in the middle of the night, if they're having a dream or God appears to them, speak, Lord. Your servant is ready to hear. Bring Lindsay in. Thank you, Lord. Give them a nice round of applause. Make them feel comfortable. Thank you. Thank you.
Good morning.
Morning.
I miss you guys. I miss you guys. Why don't you sit down on the front here for me? Come on, all of you, come sit down. All right. Yeah, I miss you guys. Okay, so all of you know, I'm quite sure if you don't know, if you're visiting, our children's church has undergone a dramatic change over the last 2 months. We've restructured it. We've brought in a new curriculum. We've decorated them. And so Pastor Henry is so graciously allowed us to share our vision and what God has been doing in Children's Church over the last few months. So I love to call these kids soldiers with little feet. So they may have little feet in the natural, but their spirits are just as big as our spirits. They're just as capable of hearing God and operating in kingdom principles as all of us are. And I honestly believe that there's a passionate cry from our Lord's heart for churches not just to keep kids busy or to babysit them, but to bring them into a living and loving and dynamic relationship with Him. It's great if they know the story of David and Goliath. It's great if they know the story of Adam and Eve, but it's not going to help them live victoriously in life. It's great if they can recite the books of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, but that's not going to enable them to overcome when the enemy attacks. And let you know, it's not if he attacks, it's when he attacks. If your kids are in the public school system, they are attacked daily, daily. And it's time for them to know the principles of the Word of God so that they can stand up tall and strong, knowing who they are in Christ. You can't succeed in this world without that. So how can they? How can they? They can't succeed by quoting Genesis and Revelations to them, but they can succeed when they know who they are in Christ, when they know what Jesus did for them, when they know that the greater one dwells in them and that they have access to God, who is their Father, any time of the day or night. That's when they can walk in victory. Bryce, tell me. Can you tell me what Daniel chapter 6 and verse 16 says?
Daniel chapter 6, 16, the God I serve will deliver me.
Yeah, he knows. He knows that if he needs help, he can pray and the God he serves will deliver him. If we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit and his power from on high, then so do these kids. Do you think it could be that the adversary, our enemy, the devil, knows the importance of this generation? Do you think he would try to divert them from their destiny? And I honestly believe that as the Lord approaches, as that returning comes close, there has to be a people who are as bold as a lion and will witness and tell the lost their need of Jesus and lay hands on the sick. Not only that, but they need to be able to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Now, you can't reach your children's classmates, but your kids can. Your kids are the ones who are able to touch them and reach them way before they become adults. I remember when Matthew was in fifth grade, actually it was third grade, he came home one day and he said, Mommy, I prayed for, I don't even remember the little girl's name. She accepted Jesus today. That's what we want to be seeing out here. Now, the Children's Church at The Promise have such an amazing vision that we are raising up an army of children fearless and motivated by simple faith and their personal relationship with Jesus. I honestly believe from the bottom of my heart that they have a divine purpose and a divine call, that they have gifts and anointing and talents within them that we get the privilege of developing and equipping them to go out into the future. Now, for us to do that, we have to have a curriculum that speaks to our vision. And so we've, in the last 2 months, we've put in a new curriculum, and it's designed to build on the knowledge on a weekly basis. So each week they learn a memory verse that's connected to that lesson. And in the very first week of the curriculum, I'm coming, Liz. I'm coming. We learned about the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. Lewis, can you tell me, before we go there, what does Jonah chapter 2 and verse 7 say?
Jonah chapter 2, verse 7, I cried to you and you heard me.
So there you go. He knows. Okay. In the very first week, we taught them about the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. And the revelation of these two kingdoms is critical for us to build the whole curriculum on, our whole lives on. God's kingdom is good and awesome and amazing because God is good and awesome and amazing. The kingdom of darkness, the devil's kingdom, is bad. It's evil. Why? Because the devil is evil. And the children were given the opportunity to choose which kingdom they could belong to. The first thing they learned was that they were able to go to God and say, I want to belong to your kingdom. And we showed them exactly how to do that. You need to accept that Jesus has made a way for you and you can belong to that kingdom. We spent a bunch of time that week talking about what heaven is like. What is heaven like? We can find love there, peace there, joy there, healing. And because God is its king, it's only good things. And we also found out that what the enemy, the devil, has to offer is bad, evil. We don't want any part of that. And so at the end of that lesson, the children were given the opportunity to choose which kingdom they would like to belong to. 100% of the kids in Children's Church that morning prayed the salvation prayer. They asked Jesus. And then we have this amazing thing that we are beginning to do with the kids. We call it our soaking time. And so what I do is I put on some praise and worship music. It's really quiet. We separate into a circle. None of them can touch. And I ask the Holy Spirit to reveal things to them. And depending on our lesson, this particular week, we ask the Holy Spirit to please come in, and we pray. And we said, Holy Spirit, will you come and show us what heaven is like? And the kids close their eyes and they just soak in the presence of Jesus. And during that time, we kind of coach them. We say to them, what do you see? Can you smell anything? What does heaven smell like? What does it sound like in heaven? And at the end of that time, we give them the opportunity to share with us what they saw. Jacob, tell us what you saw that day.
Joy.
Tell us again.
Joy.
He said there was the most amazing joy in heaven. Okay, Eunice, can you tell me what verse we learned that week?
Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. Yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever.
Good job. Good job. So that was our foundational class. And then we moved on to the fact that, well, if God is the king of heaven, what kind of king is he? Is he a good king? Is he a bad king? And we know that, what kind of king is he, Bryce? Yes, he's a good king, right? And if God is the king and we've asked him to be our father, then our dad is a king. Imagine that. And how do we get to be into this wonderful kingdom? Can you remember how we get adopted, kids? Uh-huh. Do you have to beg God? What do you do? You ask. Remember? All right. I didn't coach them on that one. So, okay, we get adopted into God's family by asking. And that particular week, every single one of the kids said, oh, I want to be adopted into God's family. I want to be part of God's family. And so they prayed again. And it was, you know, there's this dilemma. Well, they have received, but this reinforcement of being wanting to belong to God's family is so amazing. Jenica, where are you? Can you tell me Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9?
I am not afraid because God is with me wherever I go.
Right. And then in the third week, we shared with the kids that God loved us while we were sinners. And I showed them, told them the story of the leper who came to Jesus and said, if you will, you can make me whole. You can clean me. And so in exactly the same way, when we come to Jesus, I showed them a picture of a man with leprosy. They were grossed out. They were totally grossed out. But the visual connection was, that's what our heart looks like without Jesus. And so they were able to once again know that God loves us while we were sinners. While our hearts looked like they had leprosy, God loved us just like that. We didn't have to do anything for that. And we had a visitor that particular weekend. And, of course, we asked her, would she like to have her heart cleaned just like the leper did? And she said yes. And so we asked the kids what she had to do. And they all said, oh, she has to ask to be adopted because Jesus made a way. They all knew what it took to belong in the kingdom of heaven. So, Sophia, what was our memory verse that week?
Jesus died for us even while we were still sinners.
That's right. Romans chapter?
Romans chapter 5, verse 8.
Good job. Yeah. Good job. And what happens now that we have a father who's a king? He gives us every good thing that he has in heaven belongs to us now. And when we ask Jesus into our heart, when we ask for salvation, then heaven, all those attributes, everything we find in heaven begins to abide in our hearts. And so God has given us a royal mission to take what's in our hearts, to take the heaven that's in our hearts to the rest of the world. And the children were once again given an opportunity to pray and accept that assignment, to be bearers, to take this, to be secret agents is what we called it, of the royal mission to take what's in heaven that's abiding in their hearts into the rest of the world. Just a minute. Eunice, during that time, we had a soaking time again, and we asked the children to ask the Holy Spirit to show them how they would do that. How would they take the heaven that's in their hearts into the world? And Eunice shared this afterwards.
I saw a box filled with God's treasure and in my heart.
So the Holy Spirit is showing these kids. He is revealing things to them that are in their hearts. And then we're teaching the children that because heaven abides in them, because all that God has is in them, they can pray for the sick. Lewis, what happened to you?
My throat got hurt. My throat got hurt.
And then what happened when we prayed for you?
My throat got healed.
Aha. The kids laid hands on him. I led them in a prayer, but the kids laid hands on them with the instruction that let go of the healing that's in you. Why don't you send the healing that's in your heart to Lewis this morning? So they're learning how to release that anointing. I would like to share with you what the future looks like, what we're going to be doing in particular in the month of March. Easter is the 27th this year, and we're going to take the entire month of March to teach the kids what Easter is about. We're not just going to do resurrection morning, hand out a bunch of candy. Come on, Lewis. I know you can sit. I know you can. But we are going to teach them what Jesus was doing. and the response that the religious leaders had. We're going to teach them about Jesus' betrayal. And the week before Easter, we're going to teach on the crucifixion. So that when they come in on Easter morning, they will see the empty tomb and the resurrected Christ. And that's our mission. That's our mission. We have wonderful praise and worship. And I've asked Kathy. Okay, lights down. Thank you. The children will go where you lead them. If we teach them children's songs, that's what they'll sing. But if we teach them what it is to praise and worship God, then they will grow up being worshipers. This is the kind of song that we play. This is what they're learning. Your kids follow you in everything. Let's teach them to worship. Let's teach them that God is an amazing God who deserves all of their heart, all of their praise, and all of their worship. We're going to be sending home regular emails to the parents so that you know exactly what we're teaching, so that you can reinforce that in at home. And this week, when you go into the children's church after the service, parents, there's a little goodie bag for you. Inside of that goodie bag is a CD of all the songs we are actually teaching the kids so that they can go home and sing them and learn how to praise and worship. All of this, this amazing stuff, is impossible without the teachers that God has raised up and brought in. If you are in children's church, would you stand? If you help in children's church, please stand. Candy, and stand. Holly as well. Spencer, thank you. It would not be possible without them, plus those that are in there this morning. We have 24 volunteers. You may sit. Thank you so much. 24 volunteers and helpers. Not only do they arrive early on Sundays to set up the crafts and take care of stuff and to teach the kids about Jesus, but they arrive early and we soak the atmosphere that with prayer. Before we come in here, we soak that atmosphere with prayer. Before your kids even walk in the door, they've been prayed for and they've been covered with prayer. The nursery has been one of the biggest growth areas that we have, and I've asked Cindy Haggerty. Cindy, would you stand, please? She's going to be taking over the nursery. She's going to be working alongside me. They have their own teachers, their own curriculum, their own... They're too young to do what we're doing, but we don't just babysit them. Even there, we are teaching them that Jesus loves them. We're teaching them the song, Jesus Loves Me. And so even there, right from the beginning, we are putting in the love of Jesus. I'd like to thank every teenager who works in there. Thank you. You're invaluable, every single one of you. Imagine, would you like it if there were no snacks?
No.
They help, they clean. And I want you to know, if your kids are in the nursery, every single one of those toys get totally disinfected. Every single week, they get sanitized and disinfected. So you can be safe knowing that your child goes in there, it is clean, and they're not picking up any germs. And then lastly, I want to thank you, parents. It's an honor to train up this next generation and begin to see the growth in the men as they begin to recognize God in them and begin to know the voice of the Holy Spirit. I don't know that there's a greater honor than to train up a generation that will truly know their God and do mighty exploits in his name. So thank you. I appreciate the time. I appreciate the honor that you give to us to allow us to train up your kids. And when you go in there this morning, you're invited as we conclude to please go in. Go and see the vision of this of our children's church. Go and see what they are doing. They're so proud to show you. They know what their mission is. It's to make what's in heaven permeate the earth. They know that's their mission and the vision of the children's church. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, Pastor Lindsay. Thank you so much, children. Thank you so much. One thing she did not mention to you is we've been working on the sign-in system security. We're almost ready to go with it, and we've got a computerized system. Kathy's been working with her, and we've been getting this together. So is it ready?
We actually put it in today. There's now an electronic sign-in where you're going to have a bar scan to actually scan your children out. You know, it's fine when there are 12 kids, but when there's 100,
yes,
then we need to know for sure that this person is collecting the right child.
Right.
So bear with us if we have a few hiccups. It was just put in today. Most of you will have got your little tag.
We've been working a whole year, honestly, behind the scenes, a whole year. Kathy's been working so many hours each day to try and get this thing ready to go. It's absolutely amazing, but it's going to be the safest thing that you can do to make sure that the children are safe and that they're taken care of there. So I want you as the Promise Church to be proud of your children's church and to know that when you invite families that have children, you can say to them, it's an amazing children's church. You need to come and have a look at it. And so I invite you, please, have a walk through this morning. Go and just see what's happening there. We've got some gifts for you that go through. Whether you've got children or not, it doesn't matter. Just thank the children, the parents, hug on them that are there, the workers and so on, and especially for the leadership that Pastor Lindsay has shown, okay? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for the great things that you're doing at the Promise. Thank you for bringing the people in here that are so committed. They're so faithful. They're so loyal. And Father, they've got a heart for God. They've got a heart for each department, whether it's the music or the children, the young adults. They've got a heart for it. It's something you've put in them. And we thank you for it, Lord. We bless the people today. Bless the work that's being done here in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, while I was praying for you guys this week, go ahead, children. While I was praying for you this week, I went home on Saturday after the work that was done. And I was so moved by what I saw, the commitment and the faithfulness that I seen. And the Lord said to me that commitment is the same word as sacrifice. You prove your commitment by the sacrifice you're willing to make. Because when things are not going your way, or you've got other issues that you have to take care of, and you make a personal sacrifice to show your commitment, you're showing your faithfulness, and you're showing God, count on me, I'll be there. And that's what I seen. I seen that Wednesday night at the prayer meeting. I saw it at the baptism that we had, and I saw it yesterday as well, the people working. So I just want to thank you for being such a loyal, faithful, committed congregation. It's a pleasure to pastor you. We love you so much. Amen. God bless you. Have a good week.